is that we need Jesus more than ever. Everybody should say amen.
Amen.
Try it one more time.
Amen.
Big amen. Big amen. Dang, he said a big amen. That's like a triple dog dare you. But I think that God is looking for people who are not only hungry and teachable, but honestly who have thick enough skin through Jesus that you are willing to let yourself not only be dragged through the dirt, be able to learn something, but also to take all the crappy experiences that most of you have sitting in these seats, no matter how hard, you don't have to be a drug addict or anything, you just could have made humongous mistakes, all those things, but what are you willing to let God have for him to take that, to turn it around, to actually be a tool to change the world? What do you not, look at, if we know, the 1 Peter 5:10 says, although we suffer for a little while, he's going to restore us, make us strong, firm, and steadfast. He will do that. Then that means that brokenness, again, is the key to great transformation. You can't be transformed if you're perfect. And by the way, nobody's perfect. Amen? Everybody's busted. It's your realization. But some of us worldly have different consequences. We've done some really stupid things. Amen? What? My two questions for you. What are you willing to let the Lord have to use with what's happened in your life? And number two, how much are you willing to actually use that experience and use his power to change the world? Here's the desire of our heart, is that you will be restored. Everybody say, I want to be restored. And number two, say, I want to restore others. That's the key. And so our whole desire, and it's the reason why, do you know how many people we've had in and out of our doors over the last 6 years? How many? Lots. And here's the deal, is that preference is preference. But what we've found that most people disconnect on, because we always hear this, man, I love the worship team, and the preacher guy was kind of a bug, but the rest of it was really cool. People were really nice to me, and man, I love it. I'm coming, I'm down, I'm here. And they pledge that they're here, and then they're here, and then we go, okay, let's get down to this. And they go, ah, and they run away. We're a church that welcomes abusers and addicts. When you open abusers, and we're not just about abusers and addicts, so just, I don't want anybody to think that. We're about everybody. But we have a heart for people to come that have been deep in abuse. But do you know what kind of turnaround there are for abusers and addicts? Can I share with you how many people say no to dope and say yes to the Lord? It's heartbreaking. But we've got a few. And if we can get a few to turn around and sell their lives out for the Lord and go back in, listen, this is where we lose a lot of you. I'm going back in now. Wait, you've been sober for 3 weeks. Stop. They get built up. They get restored first. Amen. And then they go back in. Amen. I'm just telling you, 3 weeks, 3 months is not long enough for you to be standing and going and walking in the room full of vipers and not come out with poison. Amen. And so you know what I'm talking about? And so, but if we can get a couple of them to go back in, and what if we get a couple of soccer moms that are worshiping stuff and things and their money and their security, and what if they're touched? And what if we only have a couple of them, but a couple of them go make a couple more, and then they make a couple more, and then they go make a couple more, amen? So it's a slow process. But think about it, when the base is built, what happens for the foundation? Part of our journey is this. Last year we started a thing called Draw Near. Renee is very helpful to have around. She, I always feel good when she's here. It's good. You will find back there on the wall, I'm not trying to sell you anything, this is all free by the way. People are like, I knew it was coming. The Shekinah glory cloth of sweat. For $69.99 that we'll send to you for your donation today. Here's where this all starts, is this. You will not have any kind of breakthrough in your life or any kind of foundational walk in your life unless you know how to draw near to Jesus yourself. You can tag off a preacher for a little while when you come to church, and you can ride on coattails, and you can ride on coattails of your wife or your husband, you can ride on coattails of your friends, but eventually, if you do not understand what it is and how to grow in relationship with Jesus, where you're meeting him every day, you're talking to him every day, you're worshiping him one-on-one every day, then you will just be depending on other people to sustain your faith. When you do that, guess what? People fail. Husbands are not perfect. Wives are not perfect. Friends are not perfect. They're sinners, and they will let you down. Everyone in this room will eventually let you down. I'm going to let you down somehow. The only person on earth and in heaven that will never let you down is Jesus Christ. And he says he desires to have a relationship with you and you and you and you and you. He wants you to draw near. Matter of fact, the text in James 4:8 says, if you draw near to me, the God will draw near to you. He will come. But there's a response. Your heart is open. You are willing to go his way and say, yes, Lord, he comes your way. There is this mystified thing. Jesus does pursue lost sheep. Amen. Jesus pursues lost, broken sheep. But after that, when they keep running away, God isn't like, oh, hold on, guys, I got to go. God, there is a response to your salvation. The response to your salvation is obedience and yes, Lord. And when you say yes, Lord, and it's nasty at first, right? It's like, you know what I mean? It takes a while. You round up. It's a slow process, but you have to be on the road. And I think that if one thing that is true about our churches in our country is we have a lot of people that love Jesus, that truly need a Savior and want a Savior, but don't either know about or want anything to do with following him with their lives. That's a problem. That equals powerlessness. And powerless believers equal powerless churches, which equal dark continents. Where's our country? It's in a dark place. Is there light? We're really big on discipleship, and let's take a couple minutes on this. This is called a Draw Near Weekly Devotion Guide. And a few years ago, we were reading lots of chronological texts and lectionary texts and different parts. All of us were all over the place with what we were reading scripturally, and that's fine if you're reading your own thing. But we decided to shrink back. I don't want to call it dumb down, small down the amount of stuff we were taking in as a church, do it all together, and take slow bits and pieces to be able to get to where we were going. Because at the end of the year, every year, I would make a stupid decision to ask everybody how many of us were reading faithfully, praying faithfully, and memorizing scripture every week, and how many people raised their hands? 4. Here's my thing. Is that if we're that body of Christ that I know to be powerful, but only 4 of us are praying every day, meeting with the Lord in his word every day, seeking out to be obedient to him every day, guess what? We had a long way to go. And so, because I know that when we, most of us, walk in here on a Sunday, not counting on me to have a good day to pull off your faith and your spirituality and convict you, the word convicts, amen? But this morning you read in the Word and you just began to weep because the Lord illuminated something about your heart from the Scriptures, and the Holy Spirit met you in your room where you were, and he touched your heart and he gave you direction. He convicted you. He led you out. It's great. Pastors are here for shepherding. Pastors are not here to be able to feed you bottles for the rest of your life. You have to learn how to eat on your own. Eat food. And so it's okay to take baby bites. People think, you know the contest when you get in where preacher says, turn to Psalms 27. Everybody's like, turning to the index, cheating. Now you all have phones, so we can't tell how bad you can't find scripture. Right? Amen. We should outlaw. No, I'd be in trouble. We can't do that. Here's what we do. Every week, I publish online and back there on our what we call the tool shed. It's looking kind of ratty, but that's called the tool shed back there. On top, you'll find one of these devotion sheets that go look like this. And it's a nice vivid green, so it sticks out in your face this year, right? So you don't leave it in the trash can. On it, it has what date these are for. This is for the whole week, Sunday through Saturday. And then it has a little spiel on here about how to spend daily time with the Lord. This is not scripture. This is a suggestion. Okay? And so this is how it works. It talks about preparing for God, worshiping God, Bible reading, prayer, and waiting on God, which is something we're going to talk about in the next few weeks, to be able to hear his voice. And then down here, it has a little Bible empty in here, and it's got a text, Matthew chapter 1. How many of you can find Matthew chapter 1 in the Bible? How many of you can find Matthew chapter 1 on your electronic device? Some people don't have electronic devices. How will you survive? Here's what we do. We have life groups on Wednesday, and we take one of these every week, and all this week I want you to read, seriously, unless you feel like you want to read more, is Matthew chapter 1. All week. All week. Say it. All week. Matthew chapter 1. Back there on the tool shed, we also sell commentaries that'll help you walk. There's a million commentaries out there. About 500,000 of them are raunchy and bad. We find one that we agree with for the most part in Wearsby. And I also have an electronic one I can send you via email. But there's a commentary back there, and it has Matthew chapter 1. Here's the background and the history and the application to the text you just read. For 1 week, and we do it in life group, we come together, we talk about, we pray about, and we meditate on one scripture, one chapter. This week, it's all about the genealogy of Jesus. Why is the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1 important to your faith? Do most of you even know why it's important that from David's line, from Abraham's line to David, there's 14 and another 14? Does anybody even realize how important it is that Jesus comes directly from the descendants of Jacob? Why? Because it was prophesied in the Old Testament that he would come. And guess what? When he's born, Matthew chapter 1, it puts that in there not to bore you. Who's Rahab? Right? Those are important because you can trace the seed of the Lord all the way through time to the very place of his birth. That's important because it shows the legitimacy of God and that he prophesied him thousands of years before and he came to fruition in this baby in a manger. Is that important to your beliefs? Can you imagine sitting on one scripture like that for an entire week, meditating on it, and then over here on this side, we call this the SOS box. Everybody say SOS. Get a little Police song going in my head. Anybody listen to the Police back in the day? Police rock, man. Come on. Trent, don't act like you didn't. Very good bass line. Sting's a way better bass player than me. This is SOS. In this box, it has three things that go along with SOS. James 1:22 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Here's in a nutshell what I'm telling you. Do not worry about soaking in the entirety of the Bible for your Bible study if you're not willing to apply and learn and do two things you read. Did he just say don't read the Bible? I'm not telling you that. But the mission is people want to consume everything, which is a good thing. But you better have a heart of obedience for it to actually take transformation in your heart. You hear what I'm saying? And so what we do is S, number one, stands for what does the text say about Jesus and the Lord and his will? And so if you don't know, commentary. Woo! Why is it important to know what it says? Because you need to know what it says. Okay, for time's sake. Number two, the O is obey. And so whatever the scripture says, and you understand what the scripture says, it is talking about don't kill anybody. How do you obey that text? Woo! Man, you guys already got this down. Come on, we can move on. What if it's talking about forgiving someone that you hate? Yeah, imagine only having a week for that. Think about it. So if it says, if the Lord says forgive, here's the best thing you can do in your spiritual life. Read Matthew and do what Jesus says. Just give me 3 months, give me 6 months, read it and obey it, and your life will never be the same. No preacher, no Bible study, no anything you've ever done, no conference you've been to will root your heart differently than you reading the Word of God, finally understanding what it's saying in some kind of totality, and obeying it, right? So imagine if in 6 months you've given away everything, you've gotten rid of debt, you've forgiven people, and you're living for the Lord, you're reaching the lost, what will your spirituality look like? Hopefully your response will be better than what I just got then, right? And then the last one is, so the first one we have is say. Second one is obey. I love telling you guys that. Number three is share. Oh, what is the Great Commission? It's the Great Commission for everybody. Yeah, Jesus says, go make disciples in all the earth, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded to you. So number one, that's on you. Your job is to obey a loving God that through his death gave you complete freedom. From that, your response is, yes, Lord, you take it. You understand what his word says. You want to obey it in your heart. By the way, it's a process. Amen. You will mess up. What do you do when you mess up? Do it again. Repent. Bring forgiveness. Start over. Amen. But you'll find that if you're really concerned with obeying him, you will have to start over hopefully a little bit less every year. Amen. How many of you this year had to say you're sorry for stuff a little bit less this year than you did last year? That's a little discouraging. Okay, good. Right. Grant, I was at least counting on you. All right. That's good. So look, we have room to work, right? And the last one is just share. How will I share the truth? So I learned something about forgiveness this week. I call my father and I give my father forgiveness because I harbor resentment and unforgiveness with my father. That rocks my world this week. It's going to take me months to completely receive it, but I'm continuing to obey and I forgive him. And then I just pick up the phone and I call my mom. And my mom also has issues with my father. And I tell my mother, listen, you know, Jesus has changed my heart. And this week, God, I just felt God convict me to forgive my father. And I just wanted you to know that Jesus has broken my heart and I forgive my dad. What kind of implications can that have for my mom? Do you see what I'm saying? This is not so difficult. Even evangelism, it's not so difficult that you're standing on a corner with a bullhorn trying to convince everybody that Jesus saves. It's personal change in you exploding from the root out, and you share it with people. You just say, man, I used to hate blah, 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 blah. Man, but God forgave me, man. I was in dope. I was in jail. I was gangbanging. I was just lying to everybody. I had booze in my closet. Man, Jesus set me free. Amen? And the thing about life change is even though they'll try, who can argue with you? Who can argue with Benny? Gang banging, shooting at people. Gangster rap. All of a sudden, smiley, Jesus-loving car salesman, singing about Jesus. Amen? Woo! Some of you know Benny back in the day. Tell me there's not a difference between Benny then and Benny now. Argue with me. Who did that? Amen. Amen. The rest of you too, he was just so bad, I thought I'd use him as an example. By the way, a lot of you went to high school with me. We won't talk about that. On the sheet at the bottom, it has a January scripture for memorization. Everybody say January. What is January called? A month. This is our new thing. I said, listen, if by the end of the year you learned 12 strategic, life-changing scriptures, look, this is not long. This is Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. How many of you need that word from the Lord in your heart? How many of you need to know that God holds you in his right hand? All of us. Imagine if you can memorize that, and when the devil comes, instead of you going to booze, or you going to a sexual relationship, or you going into worry, or buying stuff at the mall, what if you went into this and say, wait a minute, devil, I'm in the Lord's right hand. He strengthens me. He is my rock. I am his. And you actually fight the devil with the truth of God. How many of you, at the end of the year, if you learned 12 of those, it would significantly change your life? The question is it doable? And some of you are like, dude, you said this last year, and until we've arrived, I'm going to say it every year. Amen? And so our thing is, this is it, and then you turn it over here. And by the way, if you're a tech geek, I send them via email. You can get them on our website. You can get them back there in paper. Whatever you, if you want to kill trees and you're cool with that, fine. On the back, for your prayer life, we put creeds and prayers. We follow things like the Nicene Creed. We believe that it is completely scripturally based. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and the church. we recite that as a prayer together. Is that mindless, dumb, no, because if you, this, here's one on New Year's I found, and it's kind of cheesy, but it's a good one for me. So I put it on here. This is what you could pray this week if you need help praying. Dear Lord, this year I want to change. God, I've said this in the past, but my prayer is different because now I understand at last. I wanted my own way before, and I've ignored your loving plans, but now I'm putting everything into your nail-scarred hands. Lord, my deepest desire is to obey you out of gratitude and love. I won't be giving orders to you, God, above. I finally realize that this truth has changed my prayer. The safest place for me to be, God, is in your gentle care. Please be my shepherd, Jesus. It's all I ask of you. In good times and bad this year, take my hand and lead me through. As a prayer, can you put that, can you read words and actually make it come from your own heart? I know you've sang love songs to your girl before, right? One of my favorite songs to my wife is In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel. Again, I'm an old dude, right? And I just sing it like I wrote every one of those words, right? I see the doorway to a thousand churches, girl, your eyes. Your eyes. I think it's about time to go home. You notice that she's not out here today? Please don't tell her. Do not tell your mama. So every week I'll put a new prayer on the top of that list. Okay? And then right below it is restore community prayers. I don't know if you know this, and this is my fault. We have two indigenous prayers that God put on our heart when we started the church. One is called the Prayer of the Restored, and the other one is called a Restored Prayer of Declaration. And basically, and they're both in four parts. I split them up into four parts. So Prayer of the Restored, I will put a section of it on here every week, a different piece, so we can actually pray it together. And it's a prayer that God put on my heart for us. And so I won't read it to you. And then below that, we have weekly prayers for the body. And so this is stuff that's going on this week. And our prayer ministry is going to be more integral this year on helping me come up with things that are actually people are asking for prayer about. Weekly prayer for us to draw near, for Jesus to be the head in our direction, for the Holy Spirit to explode in the lives of our church. Be praying for our leaders, pastors, elders, ministry leaders. Be praying for unity in the body, church ministries. And sometimes I'll put very specific things. Ty was on there when he was in the hospital, and Sylvia was on there. Some of you, when we have stuff going on at home, we put stuff on there. So there are things for you to pray about. And at the very end, I started putting on this thing, which is a response from. And the first one is prayer from my heart this week. And you use this. You could throw it away, use it digitally, whatever. But just put down the things on there that you're praying about. The next part is, what have I felt the Lord speaking to me this week? Why is that important? Have you ever got a strong word from the Lord and you just kind of at the moment, you're like, ah, and then later 2 years ago, you're trying to go, what? By the way, you should all be journaling. Journaling is a great way to look back over the last years of your life and figure out where you are. This is a mini version. And last but not least, who am I praying salvation for this week and who am I inviting to church? And so here is our little draw near sheet. Everybody say draw near. Is there anything in here for a Bible-believing, Jesus-loving, wanting to follow person in here that is not attainable? How many of you have felt in the past when you've gone to a church before and they're like, you guys need to grow and you need to da-da-da and you need to learn how to read the Bible and you need to learn, and you felt very intimidated or afraid or scared because you didn't know what to do. And so it just made you fall back. I was that guy. People would be like, you need to grow and eat spiritual meat and you need to get off milk. And I went, yes! How? I'm telling you, it was one of the, when I was called the pastor, and this is such an old story, but when I was called the pastor, I went to my pastor and I said, listen, the Lord wants me to pastor, train me up. And he said, we don't. This is what he communicated to me. He gave me a website for a Christian college and said, go see what you find, and that is garbage. It is the job of the church and elders and pastors and spiritual mothers and fathers to help you, disciple you, to become a strong, living, breathing disciple, follower of Jesus with your life. Matter of fact, I don't think you can do it without somebody showing you. I model my life after my spiritual father. If I didn't have a spiritual father, I would be a mess. A mess. He is the one. Not everybody can say stuff to me. But when he says something to me, I shut up and listen. Rob, you know, you need to... And so, and I just listen because I respect him, because he has led me and fathered me the whole way. He's a good father. He's in the image of my heavenly father. And so I know his life matches with Jesus, and I follow him without question. Not unequivocally, if he went off the bandwagon and started preaching craziness, I would have the mind to follow him. But I'm a spiritual father. Tyson is a spiritual father. Jared is a spiritual father. Some of you are learning to be spiritually fathered and to father others. That is the purpose of the church. This is a simple way for you to do this with other people. Until we have 4, 5, 6 generations of disciples, that means me to Ty, Ty to Grant, Grant to, make up somebody, John, and John to Chris, Casey. Why are you guys, anyway, never mind. So that's that. It's doable. Everybody say it's doable. I told you we're just having a talk this morning. Here's the other last thing I wanted to share with you this morning. Yet another piece of paper. And if you buy this one now, we will throw this one in for free as long as you include shipping and handling. I believe a person, every year the church has a vision for the next year. And what we do is we evaluate what the Lord did to us and through us over the last year. We glean from that, and we focus on what we're going to do next year, right? That is called visioning. You look back at the past. You learn from what you've done, even mistakes, amen. And for the rest of the year, this next year, we set a vision to correct those things through the Holy Spirit and to be led somewhere new where God is leading us. I'm a firm believer that if you don't learn how to do that in your own personal life, if you don't know how to take stock and you don't know how to see spiritual markers are amazing. You could go back in my journal and see where the doctor told us that they thought that our oldest daughter had Downs when she was in my wife's womb. And so we cried and we prayed. We took that stupid test, whatever it's called. It makes me want to step on it. And we were told that our kid had a very good chance of having Downs. And of course, we're going to love her anyway. That didn't matter. But we wept for her, how hard her life was going to be. And we prayed. And we prayed and prayed and prayed on our knees for weeks for God to do his will. And the Lord came, and our daughter was completely normal when she was born, as far as whatever normal is. Amen. She's a wacky girl. You know, but anyway, yeah. She did not have Downs. That was in my... And then there are other days where the deepest, darkest spiritual nightmares I ever had were in there. And I can see how God touched it and used it. By the way, if you have a rocky past, but God is your deliverer, you have an amazing tool in your past to be able to move forward in the future. Where did I go through? What was my response? How did God answer? Now you can look at things, and now you can look back in the past. Okay, I'm in a really sucky situation right now. Let me look back. What did God do? Where were you stuck? How did you get through with your deliverer? What did you learn? You can use those things in your life. If some of you were... I was an addict for so many years. I was taking pills. I've been worrying since I was da, 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 da. You can look back and see how God worked and use it to do it now. You have to be purposeful about your growth. Jesus is in charge of you spiritually changed. You are in charge of how open you are and what kind of soil you are for the good man to come to plant seed in your heart. Everyone got it? This is also another piece of paper. This was a tree killed in the Brazilian rainforest. Her name was Shanti. She was a good tree. This is a draw near, focus, personal vision, and goals sheet. And basically all this is there are different areas in here. I'll share them with you. Number one, how this year can you draw near to Jesus more? Got it? Is that a good question? Is that a question all of us should be asking ourselves? Okay, great. We're off to a good start. Here are some things on there. How can you draw near to your Lord in personal devotion? A daily commitment to meet with Jesus. You need a time, a place, and a plan. What is your time, place, and a plan? I'm telling you, if you're doing nothing, do 5 minutes. 5 minutes a day. Start with 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, and meet with the Lord. Who in this room on earth is too busy to meet with the Lord for 5 or 10 minutes a day? Now, I'm not saying that's it. But I'm saying if you're doing nothing, why don't you start with something that's attainable? You have to learn rhythms in your life, right? This is what I tell my boys. I preach to them all the time. When you get up, do this, do this, do this. And then you learn, what do you call it? Muscle memory? But yours was like a military muscle memory. You're like shooting dudes in the middle of combat or something, right? That's cool. Muscle memory, but if you don't do anything, what do they say? It takes 3 weeks to build a habit, right? 3 weeks to build a habit. And so how many of you get started, you start well, and then you... And I know some of you are so zealous, you're like, I'm going to spend an hour a day on my face with the Lord, and you do it for like 2.5 minutes. You get discouraged, and then what do? And then you walk around for months doing this. Start small. 5, 10 minutes. 5 or 10 minutes. If you're doing a half an hour, stretch yourself. But be faithful every day. We have a time, a place, and a plan to meet with the Lord. What are you going to be reading? Guess what? We've already helped you with what you should be reading, if you want to go that route. Praying. We have stuff for you to pray over and for your personal life. I have other tools to help you pray for also if you need help. And obeying. Number 2, how can you draw near with your spouse if you're married? By the way, let me say this gently. If you're not married, do not apply marital biblical concepts to your relationship. And if you want to know what I mean by that, come talk to me later. There is something that God meant purposely for a man and woman that are married. If you have a relationship and you're working it out and you're honoring Jesus in it, amen. But if you're married as a man in your house or about a man that's about to lead his home, there are certain ways that you need, certain ways, every way you need the Lord to lead you to be able to lead your wife. Amen? How many of you lead your life like a super spiritual hero without being connected to Jesus? How many of you have such amazing love languages that just surpass all things spiritual? I didn't even know how to love my wife. Our marriage was a mess. This month we've been married 16 years. Y'all, it was, honestly, let me tell you, that's a long time. It's been one of the hardest, most terrifying things I've ever gone through in my life. Because for a very long time, we were not submitted to Christ. I need the Lord to teach me how to be a better husband. You need the Lord to teach you how to be a better wife. So this says, how can you draw near with your spouse? Or some of you are engaged, your coming spouse. Will you draw near to Jesus with your spouse? How will you do it? How will you spend time together? How will you, as a wife, how do you submit? As a man, how do you lead like a godly man and not like a Neanderthal? Amen? How do you do those things? And how will you together in devotion grow? Amen? Need it? The next one, how do you draw near with your kids? How many of you need to know how to draw near to Jesus with your children? Unless you're waking up in the morning and singing God's praise and you're making toast in the shape of a cross and teaching Bible lessons with it. That's Jesus. And you have devotions every day and night and your children are just, you probably have room to grow in teaching your kids how to follow Jesus. Amen? In this day and age, when we live in a world that wants to consume and suck the life out of your kids and make them adults by the time they're 11 and eat them spiritually, you need God on a daily basis to help you with your kids. They are being devoured. Even the ones in this church give their lives over to boyfriend-girlfriend games when they're 13, 14, 16, telling each other they love each other when they have no idea what it means to love anybody. Dressing like this, giving away their purity. How on earth are you going to use what you grew up with to show them a better way? You need the Lord to help raise your kids. Amen? And you need to show them with your life. Here's the hard part for most of us is, you need to model Christ before you demand Christ. Next one, drawing near in discipleship. All of you in this church, we're almost done here, need to be in a discipleship relationship. You need someone breathing life into you, and when you have someone breathing life into you, you need to be breathing life into someone else. Amen? This just asks the question, how are you being led and how are you leading? So you can go through and change, answer that. Next one is drawing near with the church. How this year can you draw near to the Lord more through the body of Christ? Well, I really don't believe in church. I just believe in Jesus. What's the problem with that? You can't love the head without loving the body. We are the body of Christ. And we are nasty and stinky and messed up. And you're full of hypocrites. You're right. So are you. Amen. And so am I. That's why I'm covered by grace and the blood of Christ. Amen. And so you need this year, you know what you should be doing this year? Show up. Be a part of a family who cares about you. You will grow more here if you are open and dedicated to it than anywhere else that I've ever been a part of. And people will challenge you and love you, but you should be in the body of Christ. If it's not here, every word I say this morning, you hate my guts and you want to throw something at me, I understand. That's not new. A lot of people hate my guts. I mean, a lot of people hate my guts. Go somewhere else where you love and respect them and you, number one, can submit. Change. And lead. Amen? And the last one is laying down at the cross this year. How many of you have something in your spiritual repertoire inside of your heart that you need to repent from and get away from because you know it's causing a block between you and the Lord? Anyone? No, raise your hands just so other people feel good about themselves, okay? How many of you have something you need to repent from and you're not out of the woods yet on? Why? Through faith, and I know that a lot of us have been dealing with it for years, right? But why couldn't we have the faith and the obedience this year to conquer it? Because we have Jesus, we have unlimited power, we have unlimited grace, we have unlimited mercy, and now we need to work on taking the limitations off of our obedience. What if this is the last time you hit the pipe this year? What if this is the last time you hit the bottle? What if this is the last time that all of us who struggle with this go to food instead of Jesus? What if this year is a year that your marriage really does heal? What if this year you actually become an obedient son or daughter of God and you can actually go to bed at night not feeling convicted, and not that you won't be convicted, but feeling like trash and not talking to God because you know you messed up again, and you can actually go to bed and say, Lord, I know I didn't do everything right, but man, I thank you for walking with me. Thank you, thank you. What if this year could be the year that you were no longer lukewarm church pew butt sitters and actually real passionate followers of Jesus Christ changing Wichita? Because the Bible says it's possible. Not only does the Bible say it's possible, it says it's mandate. It's not a suggestion. It's true. And so the only disconnect, if Jesus is who he is, amen, he's on the throne, he's coming back, we have power, we have the Holy Spirit, amen. The part that's lacking if our city is dying has to be what? Yeah, obedience in the church. Amen? James 4:8. Draw near to God. Is that exciting to anybody? If you draw near to God, God will... How many of you are afraid of that? And honestly, I think that that's a part of it. I think some of us are so afraid to let go of what we're comfortable about. I think some of you really know God will change your life. And I think some of you know you're counting on it. But I think some of you are counting on it to come in another day when you're ready to surrender. And we giggle, but we're all guilty of that in one way or another, aren't we? Some of us know for sure that if we really laid this down and allowed God to come into the closet of our life, that he would clean it out and we would change, right? And we want that, but at the same time, we have so many walls and nails dug in that we don't want to move because it's scary and it's comfortable, that we don't want to fully surrender because we're afraid of what a real surrendered life looks like. I am. What on earth would happen to Rob Danz if I finally got these last hurdles out of my way and I would honor the Lord with what I do and almost everything and I would be free of it? Imagine what our gripe sessions would be like. Well, yeah, well, today I got... Man, God is good. Yeah, I know, but I think that, man, grace is free, isn't it? I mean, can you imagine? Gossip will take a whole new turn. Man, that guy drives me crazy. He just loves Jesus so much. And man, I want to love Jesus too. Eh, we won't conquer that today. So my desire, I haven't even gotten to my, you ready for my sermon? I have one. It's like 4 pages long. Here's the thing, is that this isn't more than anything that I want for us, and forget me, is it more than anything Jesus wants is for you to be close to him. He wants you to draw near, and he has given you power and ability and his grace and his mercy, and he's patient. But my question is, even if you have 20 years before the end of your life, and you can screw off for the next 20 years, and maybe at the end, ride it on out like a stallion, why would you? Do you not realize what you're missing between now and then? Do you realize that living for God's glory is better than any high or one night stand or time on a computer? Is it not? Imagine not feeling like trash all the time and actually feeling like you obeyed and you actually brought glory to Jesus. Amen? Some of us wouldn't know what to do with ourselves, right? I wouldn't know. Never mind. I won't get on me. Get up off me. Here's our vision for this year. It's only been another 35 minutes. Don't worry. Our first focus is this. We want to draw near to the Lord this year. We want to expand our compassion ministries to orphans and widows even more than we do now. We have a new worship album coming out this year. Everybody turn to Steve and tell him to hurry up. This was a 2013 project, I'm just saying, okay? This year, our heart is to expand our missions team. We're not only going to South Dallas, but we're going to Guadalajara this year in Mexico. Amen? Launching new life groups this year. Everybody look at the mannequins. They are our new life group leaders. I know you didn't have to talk to me yet. It's okay. It's good. They didn't know, but they just found out. I'm just kidding. Restored plant team. We're working on actually putting feet to the ground of our next plant team to be able to reach the lost and the broken. We're starting this new thing called a giving center in conjunction with Lighthouse Community Church on the south side, where we will have 2 days a week, not only our clinics and dental clinics sometimes and pregnancy crisis center, but we have a full functioning clothes closet and food pantry. They are going to grow. We're going to join up with food bank, and we will actually become a legitimate city food bank for the city. Amen. Our youth, we continue to seek growth in our youth ministry. The kids are working on a youth band this year, which we all know is the staple of a rich youth ministry, is they have a band. I'm very excited because they have hearts to worship, but I'm always a little nervous. And seeking a youth shepherd this year for our leadership team. We're moving into quarterly meetings, and we're handing over a lot of ministries from elders to deacons and for ministry leaders. By the way, we need people to lead all over the place. Looking for new elder candidates who feel called. Our facilities, we continue to pray for new location or double services later, whatever we have to do. Updating kids' areas, and we need new chairs. And by the way, if you buy a chair, we'll put your name on the butt side of the chair in honorarium of you with a marker. That's how we'll do it. Everybody wants their own. Then you guys could fight over whose chair's what. Anyway. We are seeking a pastoral administrative assistant this year, someone to come and help me with. I do a bunch of stuff, and I've had to from the beginning of church, and now that Don has kind of challenged me to start writing, to start coming up with some new different things and visioning for the future, I have to hand off a lot of my stuff. And by the way, I'm burnt anyway, and it'd be nice to hand off to somebody. The grow deep and wide, we want to have 272 new people this year. Just kidding. Fortified, and we're part of this Urban Church Association, which is supposed to blow up this year. All those things are amazing. Not one of them will happen in this room if you guys aren't dedicated to being next to Jesus and being the body of Christ. Not one of them. I can daydream up. We're going to create a movie theater for Jesus. And we're going to watch only Left Behind series 24/7 and have an invitation at the end of it. And Kirk Cameron will come and speak, and it's going to be amazing. If we're not... Sorry. We have a lot of dreams, we're always broke, but we're always taken care of. We're always battling, but God's always winning. And what we need is to turn the page this year. And I know there's a lot of hoorah speeches and people still go out and lose football games. But I'm talking about this is spiritually doable. Spiritually doable because we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. That is where these verses come into play. Not for your mortgage you shouldn't be able to afford anyway. Let's pray. Stand up and let's pray together. You can get both of these. Oh, they're already gone. Okay. This one is not gone. That's promising. This one is still back there on the second shelf. This one, you get them online. If we don't have your email, if you're new, write your email address down on the back on our visitor cards. We want to know who you are anyway. And I will send this to you this week. I send them out every week. You can also get it off our website. There's a big, nasty green box at the bottom of our website that says Draw Near. Click on it, and all this stuff is on there all year long, okay? You will hear about this in Life Group this week. The devotion sheets are what we're going over in Life Groups. And if, for those of you who are in discipleship, this is your topic this week. Amen? All right, let's pray. God, this is a... well, it's not really a sermon. I don't know what to call it. This is an odd talk this morning, Lord, but God, I know with all of my heart that your desire is to draw near to your sons and daughters in a communal way like we are right now, but Lord, also one that comes into our prayer closets and into our bedrooms and into our offices and our living rooms, God, and meets with us one-on-one. Lord, there is restoration to be had. There is freedom to come. There is growth. God, there are men and women here in this room that don't have any clue the calling that you put on their lives. Lord, you're going to use them to bring down the kingdom of darkness and to expand the kingdom of light through your Holy Spirit's power. And they are just stuck in a world of not even knowing how to get out of their own junk. But God, we pray. Now, Lord, I hate resolutions. But Lord, I love a heart that is dedicated to be changed by Jesus. God, this year, will you use us to draw near? Every one of us is our prayer. God, that we will learn how to read one chapter of the Bible a week. God, that you would show us by your Spirit, that you would show up wherever we're reading or listening to it on audio Bibles, and you would come and show us your word and show us how to obey and show us how to share it with people, that we would expand your kingdom for your glory, for your honor, for your light. And that, God, you would use these broken men and women for the most powerful thing ever to touch earth, the power of Christ. So God, today I pray over this last section we talked about confession and repentance. God, there is sin today in this room, Lord, that some of us have been holding on to for years. And Lord, quite honestly, I think that a lot of us don't really think we can ever get out of it. We can maintain, we can live a life trying to cover it up, but God, we won't really be free. But that is not what your word said. Your word says that there is freedom wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, and that you would come and rip our hearts open, Lord Jesus, and make us new men, new women, new lives. No more legacy of drugs, no more legacy of worry, no more legacy of un-Christ-like behavior and divorce and brokenness. New legacies. And so God, today I would pray as we sing this morning that God, we will start right now with those things that are causing blockage between us and you, any unrepented sin, God, that would go upon the cross because it was nailed to the cross in Jesus' name, and we would be done with it, get accountability, be in the body of Christ, and actually become new. So this morning, Lord, I pray as people come and confess, you would meet them by your Spirit and wrap your arms around them and give us power and strength to obey. We love you, and we know you love us. We ask this in Jesus' powerful name.